Well, good morning. We're starting a series today that's on community, and so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. When you hear the word community, what kind of pictures come to your mind? Is it that sitcom where the Chinese teacher doesn't teach math or martial arts, but he teaches something else? Is that, I know you guys watch that movie, right, that show. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that sitcom community. But maybe for others, the quicker pictures that come to mind are perhaps on the smaller end of the spectrum when it comes to a society. Maybe it's the neighborhood that you live in. Maybe it's the town that you grew up in. Or maybe it's the district that you belong to. On the bigger end of the spectrum, maybe it's all of the city that you reside in now or hope to move into. But when we look at the Bible, we get a narrower picture of what community means. We get a more narrow picture and a more narrow definition. In fact, in the Bible, what we see is that community is closely connected to the term ecclesia, which is the church. Community is very much associated and has word-type relationships with the word ecclesia or church. And so, the church then is one of those communities. The church and community is almost synonymous in the Bible. This term is used 69 times in the New Testament and refers to the local assembly of those who profess faith and allegiance to Christ. And so a biblical definition of community is this. It's a group of people who meet in a local place and who profess their faith in and give allegiance to Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Community in the Bible is a group of people who meet in a local place and who profess faith in and give allegiance to Jesus Christ. Now, another important element that we see when it comes to community and the biblical definition of community is that there is this very key, important characteristic of oneness, of unity. When we look in the Bible, oneness and community are tied together. In fact, if we were to play a word association game when it comes to biblical terms, if someone was to say community, we would think church and oneness. And so those are some of the things that we need to kind of keep in mind to color our lesson today, our sermon today, as we go into it. And so today we will look at a few things of what the Bible tells us and informs us about community. And then secondly, we will look at some of the ways that we can embrace community and so reap all the benefits that God desires to lavish upon us through it. So before we do that, would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray? Father and our God, we open our eyes up to you at this time. Lord, we open up our hearts to you, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would address us personally. God, thank you that you are a God who thought of this time before the beginning of all creation, that you would have these people here in these seats, Lord, so that we could hear your word, which cuts to the knife, cuts to the quick of our heart, speaks to us as only you can, as we lend ourselves and make ourselves available to your Holy Spirit's leading, guidance, and wisdom. And so, Lord, I pray that you would find those kinds of postures within the seats in front of us and in my heart as well as we dive into your word. We pray these things in your Son's holy name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right. Well, the first thing that we need to understand when it comes to community is this, that you and I, that we all were created for community. You and I were created for community. God made you and I for oneness. His intention and desire for all of us is that we would be one. And we see this first from the beginning of time. We see this in Genesis. In Genesis 2:18, we read that God has created everything and he has made everything good. Sin has not even entered into the garden yet. But then we hear God saying this: there's something in the garden that's not good. In all the things that I've created, even though sin and man has not been able to rebel yet, there's something in there that's not good. And this should pique our curiosity. What is it there that is not good that God sees? And what he sees is aloneness. In Genesis 2:18, we see that God says, "It is not good for the man to be alone." From the very beginning, before sin even enters the world, God knows that aloneness is not a good thing for men, for humankind, for his creation. Why? Because we're created for community. And so God sees that right from the very beginning. Now, another thing that we see in how we are created for community, and another thing that helps us understand this, is to remember that mankind is different from all other creations. God has created the plants of the field. He's created the planets and everything that exists in the solar system. He has created different kinds of animals that fly in the air, that swim in the ocean. But then he makes his pinnacle creation, and what makes it his pinnacle and highest type of creation is that this created being is different. It has a different kind of soul. It has a different kind of spirit. It has that kind of differences because it has been made in the image of the Creator, unlike any other created thing up to that point. And so, we see that one part of us being made like the Creator is that we reflect His image. Now, what do we understand about God's image? We see this. We see that the true God, our God, is three persons in perfect unity. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And a better way to understand that is that God is three who's, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but he's also one what? He's one in essence. He's one in godness. He's all three of those distinct persons are all made up of the same God stuff, same essence, the same substance. And so when we look at God, he is three persons, but one what? One God. One God. All of them are fully God. They are the same in the sense that they are eternal, equally. They are equally holy. They are equally all-powerful, equally all-knowing. And so, this God is not just one, but he exists in three. And so what does that tell us? That God, in his goodness, in his perfection, is a God of community. He's a God that exists in relationship with other persons, with other beings. And you and I are created in that way. And so that too informs us, that too teaches us that we were created for community, because the God in whose image we are created is a God of community himself. He's three persons in one. Third thing we see, that how the Bible kind of informs us that we were created for community, is this: that when Jesus prays his last prayers are always huge, huge insights into the heart of a person. Last prayers, last talks on a dying bed, last speeches before a big football game, all those things reflect what is important, what is the things to key upon, what is dear to the heart. And in John 17, we see what is dear to the Savior's heart. He is about to get crucified. He is about to come and accomplish the mission that he's been sent to do, which is to die for the sins of the world. And then he prays a prayer for all those who would follow him. He prays for his followers before he leaves the earth, and the prayer is one of unity, one of oneness, one of community and oneness with other people. He prays that God the Father would keep us all in his name, which God the Father has given God the Son. And he does this so that the followers of Christ might be one in the same way that God the Father and God the Son are one. He wants us to experience that same kind of vibe, that same kind of unity and oneness and wholeness that God the Father experiences with God the Son. He wants us to experience that with each other and with Him. What a prayer. What a prayer. And it shows that God's heart is for our oneness. He goes on to say that this would bring God glory, and that as we receive God's word and we receive God's Son, we would grow in that oneness and join Him in His mission to see that the earth would be one to Jesus Christ. We would be a people of one purpose and one mindset, one mission. And all of this would bring glory to God. Now, the fourth thing we see that shows that we've been made for community, we see from Acts, which is the first church. Jesus has already resurrected from the dead. Peter gives his first sermon on Pentecost. And what we see there is that the whole plan of a people coming together and being one is coming to fruition. It is solidifying and happening right before the very eyes of those who are following Christ and those who are looking at these people who say, "We follow Christ." In Acts 2:42-47, we see a picture of oneness that back then, and friends, even today, when people look at the local church and they see these images, they say, there is something different about those people. They're like one, morphed together. Here, let me read how this picture looks like. In Acts 2:42-47, says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching," kind of like what you and I do every Sunday, "and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers." It's that picture when we come around the table and we declare our allegiance to the Lord. It's that picture when we gather around in people's houses, we open up the Word of God and we allow it to change us, speak to us, transform us. Verse 43, "And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common." There was a oneness and unity about them. "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Like how you and I were at a garage sale 2 weeks ago, selling stuff that you owned so that Christians in Haiti would know that there is a God who cares for them and watches out for them. "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Friends, we were created for oneness. And when you and I see those things spiking in our church, and something within you goes, yes, it is because your spirit is in agreement with the Lord's Holy Spirit, saying, "I was made for this. This is where life is at." You and I were created for community. Well, point number two is this, is that it is in community that God shapes us by allowing us to experience His character. When you and I step into community, God works this dynamic so that you and I just don't know about His character. We feel it. We taste it. We see it. We hear it. We experience it with all our senses. How does that happen? It happens when others in the community that we step into carry out the commands of God in how we are to treat one another. Now, in your bulletins, take this out. There's another handout there, and it's a full page 8.5 by 11 paper, and it has the majority of all the one another's in the Bible. Now, just a few things about the one another's in the Bible. They can kind of be broken up into four categories. So like a third of them kind of go into the category of how to treat one another how to be with one another, act toward one another, so that the unity of us as a people would be heightened. Another category is how we are to love one another, how we are to love one another. And a third category is how to be humble toward one another. I don't know about you. I'm good about the pride part, but I'm not so good about the humble part. So this is a really good section for me. And the fourth part is how to edify, how to build up other people in the community. And so the first two, unity and love, they take about one-third each of the one another's. Humility and edification, they make up that last one-third of all the one another's in the Bible. Now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to write an asterisk. There's some instructions on the top there. We're just going to take a minute here, and I'm going to read through the list. But as I do, I want you to place an asterisk next to those one another's that you have experienced or currently need to experience. Okay? So, so we'll do that. And then, if this is a one another that you feel like the Holy Spirit is convicting you or encouraging you to do, to extend to somebody else, then I want you to place a check mark there instead, okay? Asterisk, I've experienced it, or I need to experience it. Or check mark, I've extended that to somebody else, or I feel like the Lord is saying, hey, you need to extend this to somebody else, okay? So I'll read down the list, and you check it. So for the unity ones, be at peace with one another. Don't grumble amongst one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Wait for one another before beginning the Eucharist, taking the Lord's Supper. Don't bite, devour, consume one another. Okay? Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Be kind-hearted, be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to one another. Bear with and forgive one another. Seek good for one another. And don't repay evil for evil. Don't complain against one another. Confess sins to one another. If any of those you feel you've experienced in the past, or currently you need that from the Lord, you need a touch of that from the Lord, put an asterisk next to that. If you've extended that to somebody in the past, or God is telling you to extend that to somebody, put a check mark there. All right, let me read through the loved ones. Love one another. Through love, serve one another. Tolerate one another in love. That's a huge one, right? Tolerate one another in love. You ever notice that in every group, there is one extra grace required person? One person who everybody kind of tolerates. Is that right? Okay, right? If you're in your chairs right now and you're thinking like, I don't know who's that. That might be you. if you were in your chair and when I announced that and you went like this, you might be taking that person's spot pretty soon. So okay, and if you were in your seats and when I made that announcement and you went like this, like ha ha ha, I know who that is. Well, that person's you. No, no. Okay, so there's enough for everybody, right? There's tolerance levels for everybody, right? And so sometimes we show love to other people by tolerating them, right? Tolerating their idiosyncrasies. Okay. All right, let me go on. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Be devoted to one another in love. It's another big one, I think. Sometimes it's so easy in this day to move on to the next thing. To move on to the next thing. Move on to the next relationship. Trade this relationship for another. Trade this friend for another. Trade this church for another. Trade that Bible study group for another. Change this social bunch of people that hang around for one another. God calls us to be a people of devotion. Humility. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Serve one another. Wash one another's feet. Don't be haughty. Be of the same mind. Be subject to one another. Clothe yourselves in humility toward one another. You know, for that Romans 12:10 one, they give preference to one another in honor. I know like in Asian community circles, there's always that self-deprecation, right? Ah, no, 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 you're better than me. No, you're better than me. No, you're better than me. And sometimes we do it because it's like a cultural thing. Well, I don't know how much sometimes it's almost like you got to do it, but you're not very sincere about it, right? Like it's almost a false humility kind of thing. But you know, folks, in the Godhead, in the Trinity, what we see is pure, perfect, genuine honoring of one another. The Father honors the Son, and the Son honors the Father. The Father honors the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit honors the Father. Jesus honors the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit honors Jesus. And we see that that kind of humility and honoring can happen in a genuine way. Is humility, giving preference to one another, something that you need to experience or maybe need to extend? Lastly, the edification ones. Do not judge one another. Don't put a stumbling block in a brother's way. Greet one another with a kiss. Husband and wives, don't deprive one another of physical intimacy. Bear one another's burdens. Speak truth to one another. Don't lie to one another. Comfort one another concerning the resurrection. Encourage and build up one another. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Pray for one another. Be hospitable to one another. And teach and admonish one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. I hope that you had a chance to put a check or an asterisk to at least one or two of those things. Whether it's something you've experienced in the past or something that you need to do now, take this to the Holy Spirit. Be a contributor to oneness of our time here at church as we gather as a community. You know, this experiencing of God's character, just trying to think of how that looked like. I remember being part of a small group at one time, and one of the things that happened there was I had shared how I was trying to be a little bit more responsible. I'm a social butterfly kind of thing. So a lot of times at these events that we would go to, I get kind of caught up talking to people. And before I know it, what happens is all the chairs are put away and I'm still talking to people. And then I would feel this conviction from the Lord like, hey man, you're just talking to people and everybody else is doing work. And I just felt like, okay, God, I want to grow in responsibility. I want to grow in reliability. And so one night, I stayed back, and I tried to help with the chairs. And one of my friends said, hey, let's meet up for ice cream after. And I said, yeah, I'll meet you there. And he says, we're going to be there in 5 minutes, Ed, so make sure you're there. And I'm like, so another thing that I struggled with is tardiness. Because I'm from Hawaii, so I use that as my out. I'm always on Hawaiian time, right? Like, so I have a t-shirt that says, I'm not late, I'm on Hawaiian time, man. You know, you're early. So what happened was I stayed back and I started putting away some chairs. And so my friend went off, and I got there 45 minutes late. Yeah. If you were surprised, guess how mad he was. So when I got there, I was like, hey, sorry, man. I was like, and then my friend goes like this. No, I knew he was going to be late. You know why, Ed? Because you're unreliable. You're irresponsible and unreliable. And I was like, dude, wow, man. Say that in front of my girlfriend, you know, say, oh, I feel even smaller, right, kind of now. And I was crushed. I was crushed. I was like, man, God, just trying to do right. You know what I mean? You ever been in the place where you're just trying to do right, you know, trying to live up to the convictions that God's putting on your heart, and you do it, and everything goes wrong. And I was like, oh, this stinks. But then another friend comes up, and he goes like this. Hey, Ed, I know where you were late. And I was kind of eavesdropping on you and that other guy's, I won't say his name, conversation at Bible study the other day. And I know you've been praying about being more reliable. I just want you to know this. God saw what you did. He's pleased with what you did. And you, just like me, and everyone else, even him, we're all just works in progress. And he prayed for me. And that made me feel God's arm around me, word of encouragement just shot through my soul like an injection. And I just didn't know about God's patience with me. I just didn't remember the words from the Bible that God is patient with me. I felt it. I felt it extended through another brother. Friends, community is a place where you and I get to experience the characteristics of God. Point number three, it is in community that God shapes us, not only by helping us, allowing us to experience his character, but to express his character as well. Allows us to express his character as well. I was at a party one day, and I saw these guys, and they went to the same church. Okay, they were girls. These girls who went to the same church. And one of them was a more mature Christian than the other. And I don't know what happened, but one made a comment to the other, and the older Christian just kind of gave this kind of backhanded remark. And everybody in the room was like, ooh. And so I saw this one other girl go up to her, and she goes like this. She goes like, hey, man, I don't know what the hell this is about, but, you know, if I was you, I'd just, like, tear into that person, like, not let that person get away with it. What are you thinking about, you know, like, and so the person like, now maybe it's just better if I just leave. And then they go, you know, if you just left, I don't think anybody would be, you know, uncompassionate about that at all. And then the girl goes like this. She goes like, no, but I feel convicted to just let it slide. And so they go, why would you do that? And so she goes like this. She goes like, well, one, God's forgiven me, and two, I don't know, I've not walked in that person's shoes, and I don't know what would compel that person to respond in such a hurtful way. I don't know what kind of hurt she's endured, because I know her and she's not like that, but yeah, I'm just going to cut her some grace. And later on, they had a discussion that began with this. Hey, are we cool? Are we cool? And the other person said, like, you know, that just came out wrong. That just came out wrong. But the point is, through the extending, this person, because of community, was in a setting and an arena where she could extend through her actions a characteristic of God to the other person. And at the end of the night, despite that catty exchange, unity within the group had grown. And the person who extended grace was shaped and formed more and more like her God. And the person who received it was shaped and formed as well. Friends, we need to do the next step of stepping in to those settings, though. Right now, I want to invite two people who have been coming to our church for a bit now. And they're going to share a little bit about how God has used community in their lives to shape and form and fashion them. So would you join me in welcoming Tiffany King and Michael Okazaki. Thank you, Michael and Tiffany, for sharing.
Okay. So my name is Tiffany. I've been coming to Life Song for about 3 years now. Started coming around the time he came. And we've just been blessed by the community that's been here, kind of what Pastor Ed has been talking about. And we've also been, for the past several months now, have been a part of Journey Groups, which, for those who may not know, it's something that the whole church does together, where every Sunday morning you get together in groups and you go over the same lesson. Every group is going through the same lesson. And the first time I joined, I joined for the reason of just having a sense of accountability to do daily devotions, which was something that I personally was lacking, and that's what I was seeking. But what I realized was the group not only did that, but it helped in keeping me accountable in my own struggles and my own just walk in life. And so I've been really blessed by that through journey groups. And then the past two journey groups I did, I was actually leading the high school freshman and sophomore girls. And I've just been really humbled by just their willingness to come out every Sunday morning. I know it's been really hard for them and they're always tired, but I've just been amazed by how God is using just that community of girls where they're able to support one another and relate to the struggles that they're going through, whether it's a physical injury or just homework. It's just the sense of community that's been built and is really encouraging to me and make sure that I'm, it just keeps me accountable in my own walk. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Michael. I think we're supposed to introduce ourselves. I'm a third year medical student. I started coming to Lifesong right before I started medical school. I came down here and I texted a friend and asked her, oh, what church should I go to? And she said Lifesong. And so I walked on Lifesong and I just felt God called me here. And so I've been coming here ever since. I've been in three journey groups. And the reason I joined journey groups, very similar to Tiff's, is that I felt I just wanted accountability. And in my journey group, I haven't actually told them any of this, but I really respect them. I really, I'm always humbled by just the way they live their lives, the way they raise their children, and the way they act in their marriages. For you guys who don't know, Tiff and I are engaged. And and the reason I bring that up is that when you join a journey group, you'll be put with different people in different life stages. And I'm just always learning about how to be a better husband as we kind of anticipate this time in our engagement from my journey group members. And we've also been going to this marriage class, which has been going on in the mornings now, here at Lifesong. You can talk to Pastor Ed if you're interested. And Paul Tripp, who's kind of leading the marriage conference classes, is always talking about how it's in the small moments that our marriages are made. And he relates that to our relationship with God as well, about how in the small moments our relationship with God grows. And I think it's just in those small moments of, you know, joining a journey group. You know, it's not monumental. You're not thinking about, you're not moving, or you're not making a huge life decision. It's just, you know, writing your name on a piece of paper, committing your relationship to God, and just being embraced by the love and just care of other members who of the church who are going through the same life stage as you. So, thanks.
Thanks, guys. You know, one of the reasons why I wanted Mike and Tiffany to share is because of just their genuineness and how God is using them to shape young lives in our church. I always think to myself, whenever I pray for them, I think, like, don't let them leave the youth group, because my kids are going to be there and have the things that they need to disciple them through. And they're way more uber cool than me and Nora are, you know, kind of thing. And one of the things when I talked to them was just the way God was using the genuineness, like Michael said, the everyday mundane moments of just being real, of admitting your frailties and flaws, and having your accountability group point you back and restore you again by addressing you through God's living word. It's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that, Michael and Tiffany. Now, lastly, some things to do to step into community. Some practical things as we close up here. Embrace community as a gift from God. Embrace it as it really is. It's a gift from God. A gift to come into His presence, to come in fellowship with Him, and to be made one in the way that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. I think some of the times I get scared or I'm on the fence about joining a small group or joining a church or making myself vulnerable to some people. A lot of times what gets me over the hump is when I remember, this is a gift from God. This is not the judgment squad from God. This is a place where I will experience his characteristics in a tangible way. It is a gift from God. Secondly, invite others into the community and fellowship. Invite others into the community and fellowship. You know, when God called Adam to speak with him and walk with him in the garden, that was a gift from God to Adam, saying this: hey, join my small group. Join the small group with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to be in our small group. Have that same attitude when you see people on the outside who aren't in an accountable setting yet. Say, hey, join our small group. Fellowship with us as we fellowship with the Lord. Thirdly, got to get in the game. You got to place yourself in a group where God can touch and shape you. For some of us, that might mean this: I've been dating Lifesong Church for 6 weeks now. Time to make a decision, man. We're going to DTR. Are we going to be your church or what? God is saying, hey, pick a community. Pick an amount of time. Travel and journey and traffic with them. For some of us, it might mean this: getting baptized and becoming a member of Lifesong Community Church. You serve. You're in an accountable setting. God is saying, be a member. Be a member. Third, for some of us, it might be this. It might be joining an accountability group or a smaller journey group. And lastly, for some of us, we need to ask God how he would like to use you and I to be a touch of God to somebody else. This week, would you listen to the Holy Spirit whisper to you, extend that person some grace. See how that person is broken. Know that he or she is in process too. And be compassionate and forgiving and merciful and gracious to them. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray? Father and our God, give you thanks for the gift of community, that you, the holy God of the universe, would invite us into your fellowship, to your group, to walk with you, to know your ways, to know your mind, Lord, to be one with your people, one with your mission and plan, to have that same kind of unity that the Son and the Spirit have with you. God, we pray that we would step into those opportunities you would bring our way to grow ourselves individually as contributors to the community, and in doing so, growing our community as well. To you, God, to you only, would there be glory, honor, and praise. We pray these things in your Son's name. All God's people said, amen.